I know it is coming, and I do not fear it, because I believe there is nothing on the other side of death to fear. I hope to be spared as much pain as possible on the approach path. I was perfectly content before I was born, and I think of death as the same state. I am grateful for the gifts of intelligence, love, wonder, and laughter. You can't say it wasn't interesting. My lifetime's memories are what I have brought home from the trip. I will require them for eternity, no more than that little souvenir of the Eiffel Tower I brought home from Paris.
Hey, welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Dimmy.
And we're the Gilmore Guys. And today is unfortunately, it's a special episode of the podcast because Edward Herrmann has passed away.
Yeah.
We're recording this on January the 2nd. Is that correct?
Yeah.
January the 2nd. And Edward, of course, passed away on December 31st. So this is pretty fresh for us. So as far as like a huge tribute, like a career retrospective from the beginning, because he's been working forever.
Yeah. We don't want to blast through his Wikipedia or anything.
Yeah.
But...
And we're not going to do that because we are admittedly very ill-equipped to do that.
Right.
But I mean, you can just look at his IMDb and just go through it. And it is crazy. Well, first of all, I think it's awesome how much he played FDR. He became like the FDR guy for some reason. I don't know if like people told him, hey, you look like FDR. If anyone has a story
just
about
consistently.
That.
Consistently.
Yeah. But I mean, there was a, it looks like the first thing he did it, played FDR in was a TV movie called Eleanor and Franklin. And then that would continue.
He was FDR in Annie?
He was FDR in Annie in the 1982 version of Annie, as well as most recently, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a mistake not bringing him back for reboot.
He, exactly. Yeah, that was the one mistake that, that held that movie back from
right.
greatness. He was also prolific in reading audiobooks. The clip we played at the top of the show is actually a selection from his reading of Roger Ebert's book, Life Itself, which I believe was published in 2011. And during that time, Roger Ebert himself was struggling with thyroid cancer and fighting that. And that's from the last chapter of the book where he talks about really facing death head on.
Even though Edward Herrmann didn't write those words himself, it was clearly emotionally resonant since he was going through a very similar thing, battling brain cancer while Roger Ebert was battling thyroid cancer. So we wanted to play that up top as a tribute before we got into discussing some more of Edward Herrmann's work within the context of the show, obviously.
In the context of Gilmore Girls. Now, for me, it's kind of interesting, and I don't know if you've gone through this with any TV shows you've watched a long time, Demi, but like I remember when John Spencer on The West Wing passed away. I think he had a heart attack back in 2006. If I'm not mistaken, it was like 2005 or six while they were shooting The West Wing. And it was like, even though I wasn't watching the show at the time, it was like, you kind of feel it in a
right.
way that you don't with like, I don't know, with film actors, it's different. But when one person kind of creates a character that you live
of course,
with,
yeah.
it's more of a vacancy in your life, even though obviously we don't know the guy and, you know, most fans don't know the guy either, but it's still undeniably a presence in your life.
Right. He's created a person that you've come to know through bits and moments of this fake person on a screen that feels so real. It's sort of weird to know that that person doesn't exist anymore, like past the, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, past the fictional barrier between Gilmore Girls and real life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, in both realms, it's so weird to...
It's
very strange to... I don't know. Because So, full disclosure, we're recording this, and we're going to be recording two episodes later. And in those two episodes, we have to watch Richard going through some stuff. And it's sort of strange to see Edward Herrmann fully committing to a character and seeing his name in the credits of every episode and knowing that it's not that he has passed away. It's hard, and it's a thing that is especially hard for a show that is like, if the Gilmore Girls were still on, that would be especially difficult to know.
Totally. And he was working pretty much up until
right.
I mean, from the looks of it. And I, you know, he had a long arc on The Good Wife, and he had continued working. I think the last thing I saw him in, truthfully, and I know you did too because we talked about it, is he was the voice of the commercial Wolf of Wall Street. Do you remember that? Kind of at the beginning of the movie, there's a commercial for Stratton Oakmont.
He was the voice of that?
Yeah. So he's like, Stratton Oakmont, blah, 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 blah. So if you guys watch Wolf of Wall Street, which I think is on Netflix, you can hear his voice in that. But yeah, it is strange, and it does give the show Gilmore Girls kind of an other quality now, because right when it hit on Netflix and we started doing this podcast and stuff, it was kind of, you know, it's 90s nostalgia, you know, even though it started in 2000, but it felt like, I guess it's aughts. It's nostalgia of the aughts. But it is removed, like, it's 7 years out. So, you know, they still have pagers. Tristan gets cool pages.
Lorelai hates using computers.
Yeah, exactly. She hates technology. But now with one of the main cast members gone, it does give it this feeling of like it's of a totally different time too, you know, like it's not as accessible, like, oh, maybe those sets could still be up on the back lot of WB. Like it's so gone, which kind of gives it kind of this mystical,
the show of the past.
Yeah, totally. It's like a mystical quality it has now. So anyway, we reached out on Twitter and Facebook and had a lot of feedback. Thank you so much, guys. Just talking about, because again, like we said, we can't do the career retrospective and we would screw everything up, and we've probably screwed up like 20 different facts already. But just going through your favorite memories of Richard, and then just talking about of the character Richard Gilmore and the nuances that Edward Herman, the actor, was able to give to him in his performance. So a bunch of you guys emailed us, and we're going to read a few of those. What's tough is a lot of these moments occur after the point that we're currently at in the show. And obviously, Demi is watching this for the first time, so it's hard to, like, we're going to skip ahead a little bit. I'm not going to get into story spoilers. But what we might do, truthfully, is like I might mention something and then play a clip of it, which I'll edit in, and Demi won't just hear. Yeah, exactly.
So you'll be talking about it, and I'll just be like, I don't know what this is, I don't know what you're talking about.
And you'll just be like, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I'll give my commentary.
Exactly. Just like,
I wonder how they approach that scene.
Totally. So we'll get into it. And we got so many. And what's funny is there's a lot of overlap. Like, there are maybe a handful of moments that a bunch of people said. So for those, we'll read like one or two emails from them and just get into it. So one moment that was cited a lot, I'm reading this one from Roxy. She sent this in, and her caption was it. She just linked to a clip from an episode. This is season 5. I believe it's episode 13. It's the 100th episode of the show. And she just says, he was a classy, classy man. If a man did this for me, I would swoon. And the clip that she links it to, no spoilers for Demi, but the clip is, my name is Bill.
Now, in planning our traditional first dance, I gave a lot of thought to the song that would represent the next phase in our marriage. The best phase in our marriage, I believe. I went over all the greats, Bennett, Sinatra, Chuck Berry, and a story popped into my head. Now, most of you know my daughter, Lorelai. When Lorelai was 3, she went through a period of having chronic ear infections. It was terrible. Screaming all night long, we couldn't keep a nanny longer than a week.
Yeah, that was the terrible part about it. The searing pain was just a side note.
So it fell to Emily to sit with her all night long. She tried everything to calm her down. Finally, she found a song that seemed to soothe her. It was a popular song on the radio, and it soon became Emily's favorite. Of course, it drove me crazy. Some woman complaining about how she wanted to marry a man named Bill. Not exactly Cole Porter. Emily would tease me, saying, if only your name was Bill, then this could be our song. Well, Emily, for tonight, and tonight only, my name is Bill, and this is our song. Hit the button, Johnny. Your hand, madam.
I cannot believe you remembered this song.
Anyway, if you're listening, we just played the clip, but no. Me and Demi in the room didn't hear it. But that was a moment everyone cited, and obviously a great moment for the show.
Oh, I can't
wait.
This
is tough.
I can't wait till like 7 months from now. I'm just like, oh yeah.
Yeah, because it really is. That. It's season five, but, you know, we'll get
there. Is it really that much of a story spoiler?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's 100th episode.
It's the 100th. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away. It's a big ep. Big ep.
Does Richard shoot someone named Bill to win Emily's affections?
Dude, did you read ahead? No, he doesn't.
Did I read ahead? Uh-huh. We're reading the screenplays along with... No.
One other moment that was cited a lot was, was the dick moment.
The dick moment?
Yeah.
What season is this?
So, this is season four.
No.
I know. I want to, you know, this isn't much of a spoiler.
Okay, good. Play the dick moment.
Well, I'm going to read this from Emma Migore. And yeah, we'll play the clip. Okay, so Emma writes in, I hope this isn't breaking the spoiler rule. Oh, you know what? It might be the fifth season. Goof. Sorry. But in the fifth season, Blank and Richard go golfing. No spoilers. Luke is playing really poorly and says that golf... Oh, shit.
I was about to say... no, continue. Who knows who Blank could be?
Yeah. When Richard asks him what his favorite hobby really is, he says reading, at the suggestion of his caddy, he says reading, which isn't true, as we know. Richard asks him...
Wonderful. What have you been reading lately?
Books, you know, this, that, Dick.
Pardon me?
A Dick guy, science fiction guy, Dick something, something, Dick. I just read one of his.
Well, I'll bring Dick up on the internet, see what comes up.
Oh my God, that's terrific.
And then Emma breaks it down. She says, there are a lot of parts I like about this moment. First, imagining Richard Gilmore searching Dick on the internet, but also just how representative this moment is of the tension between classes and the show. Luke pretending to be well-read, Blank pretending to be well-read, is a way of pretending to be a man with the same education and status as Richard, a way of turning himself into something higher in status than he is. But ultimately, the viewers see this as something that emphasizes the class divide rather than narrowing it. And the idea of Richard Googling Dick is so funny because it's silly and undignified. This is a good breakdown.
It really is.
So Luke trying to be a man Richard would approve of only makes it more clear to the audience that he doesn't fit that role. And it also puts Richard at a less dignified level. It's a way of showing that forcing people to be different than they are doesn't serve anyone. It's not the best moment of Richard Gilmore, or the most important, but I think it's a look at a part of who Richard Gilmore is. Someone who expects a lot of the people he deals with, who assumes that what others want is the same as what he wants, and sometimes that aspect of him is demeaning and erases an important part of another person, but sometimes, not in this instance, but in others, Richard and Emily's standards push others to be better. And Edward Herman plays this role in all moments with such nuance and clarity and grace. And it's so great. And he will be missed. Thank you, Emma. That was an amazing email. I wish you had written everything that we say on this episode.
If you want to be like a copywriter for this, just hit us up.
Emma, we love you. You have our email. Just send us all the copy for all the episodes.
My favorite part about that moment, which I have to visualize now, is...
Just visualize it, baby.
I'm imagining, because the internet is still fairly new in the time period...
Yeah, it's like 2004 or 2005 at this
like
point.
Like air quotes new.
Yeah.
But like... I imagine that Rich and Emily have a computer they don't use, so he is typing with, like, the single, like, finger on each key, yeah. Like, half a second between pressing keys,
yeah.
And he just types dick and presses enter, and he immediately is just like, I'm done. I don't want to use the computer ever again. And then he and Emily don't ever use the computer again.
Yeah, it's like Mike Birbiglia's joke about his parents that turned the computer into the corner, like he's being punished. Okay, this one comes to us from Brittany Adams. This won't be a spoiler because we've covered it. But in episode 106, Rory's birthday parties, she cites her favorite moment when Richard pulls out two envelopes in 106 and he tells Rory they're for Fez. And Brittany says that warm feeling of knowing that he will be remembered doesn't go away, even with multiple viewings. Another moment she cites is, when Rory says this is unforgiveness and stuff when he's in the hospital bed, Rory says,
if I hug you, is it going to hurt?
Pain is part of life.
And Richard being a lovely grandpa always ranks highly for me, is what Brittany says. There's so many more, but from the top of my head, those are some of my favorite Richard moments. Rest in peace to Edward Herman, the lovely, waspy grandpa I never had. Do you have one that sticks out, like, just other than the one we're going to obviously save for the end, which is probably our favorite?
Yeah, it's easily one of the best. It's weird. Richard has so many moments that he's all over the place in terms of scale and range. I have a favorite serious moment from him, and then I have a favorite, like, just genuinely hilarious and endearing moment from him. The one that I specifically love so far more than anything he's done in the show is the episode where Christopher comes to dinner and his parents are insulting everyone and Richard just goes off on them.
That's one,
and then when they leave, he doesn't suddenly turn into, like, Mr. Nice Guy. He, like, takes it to Lorelai and is just like,
"Why do you think I did it?
What?
Why do you think I did it?
I don't know. Out of protectiveness, I guess."
"You don't need to be protected, Lorelai. You've made it very clear that you can look after yourself and that you need nothing from anyone."
That's not,
"A member of my family was being attacked. The very Gilmore name was being attacked. I will not stand for that, not under any circumstances."
"Okay, well, it doesn't really matter why you did it."
"Yes, it does matter why I did it. It matters greatly. Lorelai, what are you going to take away from this? That everything that happened in the past is suddenly fine because I defended you?"
"No."
"That the hell that you put your mother and me through for the past 16 years is suddenly washed away? Well, it's not."
"We've all been through hell, Dad."
"I had to tell my friends, my colleagues, that my only daughter, the brightest in her class, was pregnant and was leaving school."
"That must have been devastating."
"And then you run away and you treat us as lepers. Your mother couldn't get out of bed for a month. Did you know that? Did you?"
"No."
"We did nothing to deserve that. Nothing to earn that."
"I get it. I'm horrible. So why don't you disown me and adopt Christopher? You love him."
"Don't be a martyr, Lorelai. Don't be naive. Do you think I love the boy who got my daughter pregnant? I wanted to kill him. I would have, too, with my bare hands. But there was a proper procedure to be followed in a situation like this."
"Marriage."
"Christopher was willing to follow the procedure we laid out. You weren't."
"What about what I wanted, Dad? Didn't that matter to you at all?"
"Sometimes one has to sacrifice something in order to do what is right."
"I feel indescribably sad for you right now, Dad."
"Well, save your emotions, Lorelai. I've had my fill of them tonight."
Before that moment, like, Richard's the character who's always reading newspapers and is, like, gets a magazine from Rory and takes a quiz in it and stuff, and that's, like, his entire thing, and he's just a special appearances. But that moment is so strong and defining, and it pushes him to a level of being a character that it's like, no, you need to appreciate Richard Gilmore for who he is in the story.
Totally.
Yeah. I think that's the first time that I saw Richard as more than a weird side character.
Just like, hey, I love newspapers.
It's like, you got the newspaper? Thank you.
Exactly.
Bye.
I guess that we remember the newspaper thing because it's in the main credits of the show.
Exactly. He's reading the newspaper and hands it to
Rory lackadaisically. And there's such a dignity that Edward Herman brings to Richard. And that just very inherent. Like, I know we were talking about, like, oh, now the TV show's of a different time, but just Edward Herman and Richard Gilmore, but definitely Edward Herman himself is of a different... I couldn't see a man like that being born in 2014.
I couldn't either.
You know what I mean?
I would feel like he was, like... I would feel like he was a jerk, you know? I'd just be like, okay, we get it. You love the 20s or whatever, but, like, calm down. No, he's very much almost outside of time.
Mm-hmm.
He's a looper.
He's like a generational looper. This next moment comes to us from Vance. It's kind of a spoiler. It's like literally the next episode we're gonna do, but well, it's
wait,
fine.
210?
No, it's gonna be 212.
Okay.
Yeah. Ben writes in. He says, "But my favorite moment, far and away, from the season 2 episode, Richard in Stars Hollow. The ending scene of that episode is one of my favorite in the series. After annoying Lorelai all day." An unemployed Richard finally vents to her. The line at the end of the episode that goes,
"I am an annoyance to my wife and a burden to my daughter. Suddenly, I realize what it feels like to be obsolete. I hope that you never have to learn what that feels like."
Is perfectly delivered.
Oh my God.
I'm not exaggerating when I say this helped me understand elderly people and the struggles they go through. So, That was a good moment. Thanks, Ben, for writing that in. Andrea writes in, and she says something that's definitely a spoiler, so I'm not going to read it.
Oh.
And I don't want to, like, play games. I don't want to play games with you, bro.
I love to play games.
Foolish games. But she says the spoiler moment, and we'll definitely talk about it when the episode comes. And
here, just overdub yourself saying what the spoiler moment is in, like, the most robotic voice.
Okay, the spoilers. Yeah, line one. It's just binary, because that's what robots
when
speak
when Richard becomes a robot, right.
Yes. Andrea, in addition to that, she says, anytime he mentions liking Chuck Berry, which is a great accent to the character, right? Like in that episode, Christopher returns when he's like, I'm a Chuck Berry man myself. It's just like a nice little dimension to it. And it does continue. Like, I think they get him a Chuck Berry box set for one of his birthdays in a future episode. So maybe we should just have Chuck Berry playing underneath this hole. Or maybe not. No, that'd probably be...
I'm like, imagining Richard watching Back to the Future every weekend, just like, instead, you know how like Lorelai and Rory have their movie nights, it's just him and Back to the Future every time. And he just sees like, can we just fast forward to the scene? You know the scene I love.
And then season 8, you actually do see the Richard Gilmore origin story, where one of his brothers is at a play where there's a dignified kind of English-speaking older man, and he gets on the phone and says, Richard, it's your brother, David Gilmore.
Marvin Gilmore?
You know that new sound you've been looking for?
Wait, David Gilmore from Pink Floyd?
Oh, no. Well, that would be all. Oh,
that
what,
would be a very... anyway.
All the part of the cinematic connected
Well, listen
universe.
To this. He holds the phone up to Michael J. Fox.
Spoiler, spoiler. I tell you what, we did get a lot of dick emails this time around for the dick moment.
I was about to say, I don't even have a joke there.
I know.
The joke itself.
Oh, you know what? Here, I'm going to tease this. And it'll be a fun little teaser for something that comes up. A moment that a lot of people cited. I'm not going to say specifics, but it comes in season 5, episode 12, is when Richard smashes into a car.
What?
On purpose. Not like a car accident thing. Yeah, so that's something to look forward to.
Oh, God. People season 5 is going to be a ton of great Richard moments.
Yeah, season 5, a lot of... It's kind of like Crash, but TV show version. You know that movie Crash?
It's a racially charged car crash moment?
Oh, no, actually. You're right. Never mind. That's just the first car crash thing I could think of.
I was like, you don't remember Crash very well, do you?
Nope. I just remember it was like Magnolia, but
I
stupid.
There was a crash in it.
I remember Sandra Bullock overacted. Sorry, Sandra. We love you. Come on the show.
Let's save this for the crash pals.
The crash cast?
The crash cast. You're so much better at fake podcast names than I am.
And you're better at having a career than I am. Anyway.
Aw, cut that out. What's happened? This is taking a dark turn.
Okay, so I'll read a few because it's what we've covered so far. This comes from, Mariah Burchard? Richard? Oh my gosh. Sorry, Maria Burchard or Mariah Burchard. You know who you are. Her name is spelled M-R-I-J-A. And I know a girl who's...
M-R-I?
J-A.
M-R-I.
Oh, sorry. M-A-R-I.
I was like, there's some letters.
She got an MRI, and okay. She sent us a scan. No, it's M-A-R-I-J-A. Richard. Richard. However you pronounce that name. I'm so sad to hear of Edward Herman's passing. I'm sure you guys are as well. I love the character of Richard so much. He's such a gentle yet powerful character. I saw that somewhere you were requesting favorite moments with Richard. I've been thinking, and there are many, but here are a few. Demi, close your eyes. Spoilers.
Close my eyes?
I don't know why that would make a difference.
Oh,
Maria.
So I can't read the...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, this isn't a spoiler, but one moment she cites is when he pulls the prank on Logan with Rory.
Logan!
Richard! Wow, this is a pleasant surprise. Mm. Finn, Colin, you know Richard, don't you?
Well, hello, boys. Nice to see you. Logan, I wanted to talk to you. I just heard about the incident. I heard that you professed your feelings for Rory.
What?
Mr. Bell is a very dear friend of mine, as is the Dean of Admissions. Well, you know this place. News travels fast.
Yeah, look.
I have to tell you that while I understand what could have driven you to such a public display of affection, there is a proper time and place for that sort of thing. In a classroom, in the middle of class. is not one of them.
No, I know.
However, what's done is done. It's out. So, I dropped by to tell you that I've spoken to your father.
My father?
Well, we pounded out a few things. Property agreements, prenups, that sort of thing.
Okay, I think that there's
We came to a very fair agreement. I'm sure you'll be pleased. Now, we're setting up a dinner for next week to finalize the engagement and start talking about the ceremony. Emily is handling all the newspaper announcements, so not to worry, that's all taken care of.
But...
she is a fine young lady, Logan. I want her to be happy. You'll take care of that, I assume. All right, I'll let you get back to your coffee break. Nice seeing all of you again. And Logan, welcome to the family, son. I do hope one of his dopey-looking friends knows CPR, or he just might not make it.
You're the best, Grandpa.
All right, who's next? Paris giving you any trouble?
Not any more than usual. However, there is a girl in my modern poetry class who keeps kicking my chair.
Ah, I do love this place.
Right back at you, Grandpa.
Look forward to that. That's season 5.
Richard is about to become like the funnest grandpa, yeah. Isn't he?
Yeah.
Like season 3, he's just like, I'm retired, let's do this. And, like, yeah. He goes,
sun's out, guns out.
He starts wearing tank tops.
Yeah. And then she talks about the hospital scene. We'll get to that. And then she also cites the whole episode in the first season where he goes golfing with Rory, which was lovely, where
it
we
was,
meet the
really
Muppets.
Was.
Yeah. And then she also cites when Richard lets Lorelai escape out the window during her boring blind date.
That was nice. Yeah.
He was just like, I got you, kid. Even though it was quite tumultuous in the previous episode. So... I don't know. Is there anything? I'm going to read two more things and we're going to play a few clips. By the way, Edward Herman plays FDR and Annie. That's all you need to know. And he sings Tomorrow with Annie. So maybe we'll end the episode on that. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we will.
Maybe.
But
say.
We wanted to read just a few more things in honor of him. And this is very fresh. Obviously, it's all in the last 2 days. So I'm sure more and more stories like these will be coming out. But for now, this was an interview Michael Osiello, who has a cameo on Gilmore Girls later.
He does?
Yeah, he does.
TV the TV line? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
So he's a big, huge, huge fan of the show. And
Michael, we love you. Come on the show.
Oh, gosh, why have we not invited him?
What are we doing?
What are we doing with our lives? But he wrote an article, and maybe he'll write more. I don't know. But it was like a...
maybe he'll write some more
no,
words.
No, I meant...
oh, no, I know.
I meant about the subject.
About, yeah.
And I'll pretty much just read the whole thing. Whatever. It's short. Edward Herman was Amy Sherman Palladino's first choice to play Lauren Graham's TV dad. But the Gilmore Girls creator knew she faced an uphill battle, landing the Emmy and Tony-winning acting veteran. In wake of Herman's death, Sherman Palladino shared with TV Line the surprising story that led to Herman's against-all-odds casting and the moment she came face-to-face with Richard Gilmore. So this next quote is from Amy Sherman Palladino herself. When we were casting the part of Richard on Gilmore Girls, we all sat around saying, if only we could get Ed Herman. So we sent the script to his agent, who said, Ed will come in and meet. But he won't read. We said, fine, great, set it up. The agent said, but you need to understand, he will not read. We said, we get it, no reading. The agent said, he's Ed Herman. He's worked with Woody Allen. He was in Reds. He will not, under any circumstances, read. And we were like, hey, if he'll even sit down and talk to us, we'd be honored. So Ed came in and sat down and said, I like it. It's funny. Should I read? We sat there in stunned silence as Ed opened the script and proceeded to read. And just like that, Richard Gilmore was sitting in front of us. And that's when I knew the show was charmed. To our patriarch, I thank you. I miss you, and I could never repay you. So that's very nice from Amy Sherman Palladino.
Yeah. I love hearing stories of behind the scenes, like casting moments like that, especially when it's for people who... like people have nothing but great things to say about them and their work, and to see the moment that they became a part of the show is incredible.
I wonder if audition tapes exist from that era, because surely there'd be like screen test stuff.
I'm sure they do, because I feel like I've seen audition tapes for older things, but
right.
I don't know if they would ever, like, if they exist in a form where people are like, we're ready to make this public, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I was really disappointed when the Gilmore Girls DVDs came out because there was like zero extras on them.
Oh, really?
And there could have been so much. I think there's like one or two commentaries total across the seven seasons, which is a bummer. And then we're going to close out the show. Well, first of all, is there anything else we want to say before I read this article from, or this interview with Kelly Bishop and play the clip?
I don't think so.
All right. Yeah, I think we said it all. I think we nailed it. We did not nail it.
We're running at 100% here.
But again, we just wanted to, it just felt weird to like just jump back into our stupid, dumb bits and just be like, boo, boo, beep, boo, pop, that's the culture.
That's our, that's our catchphrase, boo, boo, beep, boo.
Boo, boo, beep, boo. So thanks for joining us for a kind of, I don't know, it's been pretty fun.
Yes.
But just joining us for this kind of more sober tribute to Edward Herman. And honestly, we didn't nearly do it justice, but go out, watch his movies, listen to his audiobooks. Like, just, I mean, you heard the Roger Ebert clip at the top, but he has just such this resonant, soothing, calm voice, this tenor to it that's just so beautiful.
It's a David Attenborough sort of thing. Like, if you were to narrate a documentary, even if it was like watch grass grow,
it'd be like, I will.
Yeah, it's like, wow,
watch that grass grow.
This is crazy grass.
Yeah, so Life Itself, I'd recommend, and he's done a billion. Just look any of them up. But then I just wanted to read this because this was really touching to me when I read this. So this is, this came out the day he passed away. And it's just a little quote from Kelly Bishop, who obviously plays Emily Gilmore on the show. And she describes saying goodbye to Edward Herman. And reading this too, it was so interesting because obviously like we're not dummies and it's easy to be cynical about this stuff, like, oh, tension on set and blah, 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 and it's Hollywood and who cares and da, 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 da. But it is nice to see it even like fragments of fictionalized universes reflected in reality too. So, and for their chemistry, which Emily and Richard might be my favorite couple ever on Gilmore Girls, to see even just a little bit of that reflected in reality. And I think of like in season one and forgiveness and stuff, the hospital scene, and we'll hear from that at the end of the episode. Kelly Bishop says, "We, the Gilmore Girls family, are so terribly sad and somewhat stunned. We only learned about his illness a week or so ago. I got a call from Star, that's Edward's wife, Monday night, asking if I wanted to come to the hospital and say goodbye. I went yesterday, and I was able to give Ed love from Lauren, Alexis, and Amy. I have so many fond memories of our time together on Gilmore Girls, and since mainly via email. I think everyone who knew or worked with Ed found him to be absolutely delightful. Everything looks a little dim, as if the lights went down."
"Well, I finally found you some decent pillows. They're not down, but at least they give a little."
"Emily, we need to talk."
"You lift your head at all?"
"No, this is serious."
"Just a little."
"There is a key in my top desk drawer."
"Better, yes?"
"It's to the safe."
"One more time."
"All of our stock information is in there, plus all of the insurance information."
"Now, if I could just find you some different sheets."
"Our will is in my lower left drawer. Dennis has a copy in case there's a problem."
"Maybe I can get Dava to bring some from home."
"Emily, this is serious. We have to be practical."
"I'm going to have Dava get those."
"Emily, listen to me. If I die..."
"No!"
"Emily..."
"Richard Gilmore, there may be many things happening in this hospital tonight, but your dying is not one of them."
"But..."
"No! I did not sign on to your dying, and it is not going to happen. Not tonight, not for a very long time. In fact, I demand to go first. Do I make myself clear?"
"Yes, Emily. You may go first."
Edward Herman, we love you. Rest in peace.